I was given a life verse by a godly man. He's been retired for many years, and as I describe him, ask yourself, do I know this guy? He's been retired for many years. He's in his 80s. He's learned a lot of life lessons by now, and yet he still faithfully serves the Lord. And those of us who are younger, I'm younger than 80, you know, you look at me, hey, there's an old guy, but I'm younger than 80. But we do well to find faithful examples of godly men and women who are older than us and follow those examples, amen? And this man invests his time in helping and serving other people. He visits people in the hospital. He prays with them. He does regular visits to nursing home. He encourages people who have lost a spouse and prays with them. And he serves on a number of boards of Christian organizations. He's rarely critical. You can count on him to say an encouraging word. He smiles often. He gets excited in helping his church get better organized. And he's a retired Marine. And you might be thinking, I know who he's talking about. He's talking about Bruce Pickard, or as his name has been said, pronounced before, Picard, Bruce Picard. But there are a lot of similarities between this gentleman and Bruce, but I'm not talking about Bruce. It's a life verse of another man, and he's a retired pastor. And he reached a point in his ministry where he got a little bit burned out, and so he retired. And that often happens in ministry. A lot of people retire early in ministry. In fact, only 1 out of 10, I've shared this stat before, only 1 out of 10 ministers make it to retirement age. But he got burned out. But you don't detect in him any resentment or bitterness based on his experiences. And his life verse is Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Now I'm going to let that one soak in. You know, keep seeking what? The things above, not the things here on earth. Let me ask you this. How easy is it to set our mind on things here on earth? Quite easy, isn't it? It almost comes naturally. How easy is it to set our mind on things above? That's challenging, isn't it? But that's what Paul says. Set your mind on things above. I want to read it from the New Living Translation because there's a few words in that I think are a little bit clearer. The first word is clearer. It's truer to the Greek. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. Doesn't mean we can't focus on things here on earth, but we prioritize. We think more about the things in heaven. And the man who has these verses written on his heart is an intelligent man. He enjoys studying. It seems like he's always reading a book. And through the years, he's had a number of different intellectual interests. He speaks French fluently. He probably cultivates his intellect more than most people his age. He's a man of few words, but when he does speak, he's usually spot on. And Scripture tells us that knowledge puffs up. It makes people proud. This man's an intelligent man, but he's humble. He hasn't become proud. He doesn't toot his own horn. And he listens well to other people. And when he does speak, like I said, he's usually spot on. And he often smiles. He has a happy disposition. He's a kind of person that if you were to spend time with him, I think you would enjoy your time. It's time well spent with this man. He's gracious, he's kind, and he's sympathetic. And he shared briefly with me how these became his life verses. Many years prior, he was teaching a Bible study on this passage, and as they were reading these verses, he felt very convicted, because at that time, his intellectual interests and his pursuits were beginning to overshadow his spiritual pursuit. You see, he was more interested in science and organization and programs, and he wasn't really seeking hard after understanding the mind and heart of God. And so when he read these verses, they kind of reached out and grabbed him. It was like God was saying to him, I want you to consistently seek me more than your intellectual pursuits. Be interested in me more than anything else. Now, these are great verses and challenging verses, because in the Greek, the word seeking, to seek the Lord, runs deeper than just a mere intellectual exercise. It means to obtain for yourself, to make it your own. Make it the true north of your life. You know how a compass always points to north? Make this the compass of all of your life pursuits. We need to ask ourselves a question. What is the main thing I'm going to accomplish in my life? What's the main thing I'm going to accomplish in my life? How many of you know a little bit about Claudia? Claudia excels in a lot of things. She doesn't want me to draw any attention to her. She's a humble person. But she excels in a lot of different pursuits. We found out in Sunday school. And oh, by the way, Easter Sunday, we're not going to have Sunday school, because we're going to have those other things of breakfast and the Easter egg hunt. But we found out that she had come up with a list of a number of things that she wanted to accomplish with her life. And that's great. And not too many people do that, I don't think. But I better get the attention away from Claudia, or she won't come back and play drums for us anymore. But we need to ask ourselves, what's the main thing I want to accomplish in life? The answer is the main thing. The best thing is to know the mind of God and seek to do his will first and foremost, to know him better and better. And I think that's true of Claudia's life. I think she wants to know the Lord more and more and to serve him. And Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, I want to know him. I want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul's main pursuit in life was to know Christ better and better. And that can be our main pursuit as well. It's been said that life is what you're alive to. Life is what you're alive to. And these verses show us what we're to be alive to, what we're to be into. You know, different people are into different things and things that they really live for. It's a thing that when they start talking about it, their face comes alive. They light up and they start talking faster about it and more excitedly, and they seem to go on and on and on about that subject. That's the passion. That's the main pursuit in life. It's like a total dedication, you know, of Olympics, you know, that the Olympic athletes are seeking to get what? To get the gold medal. And so it's the kind of gold medal devotion that a person has in their life. And that was Paul's gold medal devotion. He wanted to run the race. He wanted to receive the prize of serving the Lord, of putting the Lord first in his life. But for some people, what are they into? Well, for some people, it's making money or building a career or climbing a ladder of success. For other people, maybe it's some hobby or sport, or maybe it's collecting something or other, a collection of this or that, or maybe they're into being creative and doing handiwork or crafts, or other people, maybe it's music, and the list could go on and on and on. For other people, maybe it's just seeing the world, taking trips. And all these things, even though they bring us maybe relaxation, maybe they help us avoid stress in life, or maybe we feel like we're successful, all these worldly things will pass away. They do not last. And so a lot of times what these things people are into, they're prioritizing, they're investing their lives into what's eventually going to disappear. It's not going to be there. It goes away. I like what William Barclay said. The thoughts of the Christian must be set on the things which are above. He can no longer be concerned with the trivial, passing things of earth. He must be totally concerned with the eternal verities of heaven. And it begs a question that we must all evaluate our lives by. Are we into something else more than we're into God? Is there something that we're more passionate about, more excited about than pursuing God? And if so, something needs to change in our life. Now, maybe you've had a similar experience to something I experienced not long ago. In fact, I'm still kind of experiencing it. I don't know if you've noticed that the problems of this life sometimes grab our attention more than anything else, and we spend a lot of time thinking about a problem. Maybe we lose sleep over the problem. We think about what the solution is. How can we fix the problem? The problem kind of gets under our skin. It bugs us. We struggle to focus on anything else until that problem gets solved. How many of you have noticed we've gotten a lot of rain this year? Okay, you're laughing. Yeah, Dave. Yeah. Okay. Who wouldn't notice we've gotten a lot of rain? Someone told me we're up to about 6 feet of rain so far this year in the basin, and maybe more than that. But we've had a lot of rain at our house, too. And it led to a problem that we haven't had to face at our house due to the overabundance of rain. Water was beginning to pool up next to the foundation of our house near our family room, and it was 2 or 3 inches deep. And I was looking out the window, and I said, "Hey, Nancy, we've got to go out there. We've got to bail water away from this flower bed." And I was concerned that it would seep into the family room. And so if you can picture it, here's Dave and Nancy with buckets and cups and an ice cooler, and we're bailing water into the ice cooler and carrying it over and dumping it away from the house. And the solution was very straightforward. All we need to do is build up the dirt around the foundation of the house so that the water flows away from the house, right? But we haven't had this problem before due to the rain. And anyway, I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about all the specifics and the ways to tackle this, and it was something that was just like imprinted on my brain. I just couldn't get it off my mind. And then I kind of had a convicting thought. I thought, when's the last time that I devoted so much mental energy to the things of God? When's the last time I was thinking about God's kingdom, about heaven, about what the Lord wants? You know, it has a tendency, this world, the problems of this world has a tendency to get a hold of us, right? And kind of get us in a death grip, if you will. You know, it's like, you know, and it's like, and we know we got to try and put things, but it's a struggle. It's hard, isn't it? But Jesus tells us to seek first what? To seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and what? All these things, all these worldly things will be added unto you. It isn't either or, where you can only think about God, but you can't think about the world, or you can only think about the world and not think about God. But Jesus said it's about priorities. What do you think about first? Focus on his kingdom, his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. I praise the Lord that the word first is in that verse. Seek first his kingdom. It doesn't mean that we can't be concerned about everyday problems, but it's a matter of priorities. Are we more committed to God's will and God's plan and serving the Lord and advancing his mission than all the worldly issues and problems? And have you noticed how worldly issues and problems have a way of piling up on us? It isn't just one, you know? It's like when I fix one problem at the house, it seems like two others pop up. Some of you are nodding your head. You're laughing at me. No, you're relating. You've had the same experience. You know, the challenge is to put first God's kingdom, even in the midst of problems, to keep our mind on what God wants. In Colossians 3:2 has been paraphrased this way: let heaven fill your thoughts. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. And a lot of times that word worry in the Greek, it literally means to get a death grip or to choke someone. You know, worry has a tendency of choking the life out of us. So, you know, always keep your perspective on heaven. Don't let the things of this world interfere, distract you from putting God first. You know, consistently, we've got to put God first. Now we're born. How many of you are born again? We're born again, right? We've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. And because of that, we have a right relationship. God has forgiven our sins. We can have a right, renewed relationship with God the Father. And because of that, we're born again. We have a new nature. We have a new start. And we've died to the old life. We identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you're baptized, you're identifying, you're dying to your old self, and you're trusting God to raise you up and give you new life. And so Paul says, we're citizens of heaven. That's our real country. We're just pilgrims here on this earth. We're only here for a little while. And because we've been born again, our thinking gets transformed, and we have a whole new set of values. And we begin to see life through new eyes. And William Barclay put it this way. He says, the Christian's standard of values will be God's and not man's. I love this next sentence. He says, he will go on using the things of the world, but he will use them in a new way. We still have to live in this world. We're in the world, but not of the world. You know, some people get the idea that you become a Christian, well, you don't live in the world anymore. You just kind of separate and you just kind of go do your own thing. No, we're in the world. We still have to deal with the problems of life. But we have new resources and new ways of dealing with things. We have God. We have God's truth. We have the Holy Spirit to lead and empower us. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this. God can use the problems of this world to draw us even closer to him. We think the problems are, you know, I can't wait to get to a place where I never have any problems anymore. I can relate to that. But until Christ comes back, we got problems to deal with. Amen? But God can use those problems to draw us closer to him and to mature us, which means that we become more and more Christ-like. We resemble Christ more and more spiritually. Our mindset now becomes more about giving than getting. That's what Christ was into, giving, not getting. Serving above ruling. Jesus came as a servant of all. And forgiving above avenging. If Christ came to avenge, none of us would be saved. We'd have no hope. But he came to forgive. You know, it's been observed that the early church impacted the world quite profoundly because the world saw in Christians something that was shockingly different than anything else they saw in the world. People would look at the lives of Christians and they would see different values. They would see heavenly values, not worldly values. And that's how God calls us to live. Amen? We're to have the reality of heaven and heaven's values so permeate our thinking and our living, our ambitions and our attitudes that people will see heaven at work in us. My friends, don't be embarrassed if people laugh at you because you're different. You know, they look at your Christian life, they look at your Christian testimony, they look at what you believe, and if they make fun of you, take that as a badge of honor, because God calls us to be different. He doesn't call us to be just like the world. You know, John MacArthur put it this way, preoccupation with heavenly reality is a hallmark of what? Of true spirituality. Let me say that again. Preoccupation, having your mind set on God's kingdom. Preoccupation with heavenly reality is a hallmark of true spirituality. So, this is going to be a convicting question. It convicts me. What preoccupies most of our thinking? You know, when I describe 2 or 3 inches of water kind of getting into next to our foundation of our home, you know, I have one feeling about it. You go, oh, well, Dave, that's not a big deal. Just get some dirt and put it up against the foundation of your house. You know, what are you sweating about? You know, that's not a big deal. But you have other issues. You can relate to other problems. And hopefully I don't do the same thing to you. Oh, well, that's not a big deal. You know, if it's a big deal to you, it should be a big deal to all of us, right? But we need to preoccupy our mind with heavenly thinking. Have you noticed that the world is so pervasive around us, it seems like it inundates almost everything? How many of you have seen on the news pictures of farmlands that are inundated with water, say in Kings County or Tulare County? Just amazing how much water. They're dealing with a bigger crisis than we've been dealing with up here. You know, the world has a tendency to submerge everything. The world has a tendency to submerge our thinking of God, but let's not let that happen. There's a great parallel between Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, which were this man's life verse, and Romans 12, 1 through 2. It says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Present yourselves to God. Lord, I'm at your service. Lord, I belong to you. Lord, you know, I want to worship you and serve you with the way that I live here on this planet. I want everything I do and say and think to be something that honors you. And then it goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. By what? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It's saying that we're not to walk to the beat of the world's drum. We're to keep in step with heaven's beat. We're to listen to heaven's drum, and we're to walk to the beat of heaven's drum. So we need to focus on the truth and let heavenly truth permeate us through and through. Just saturate us, inundate us, our heart, our mind, our will, our body, our soul. Everything that's ours, we need to let heaven take over. You know, the gentleman who shared these life verses with me said that God wrote them on his heart shortly after he started in ministry. You know, he was into programs and organization and people following structure and rules, if you will, and he thought if he got all of those things all lined up, that God would grant success to his church and to the ministry. You see, he had been a Navy chaplain, and so he was programmed kind of that way, structure, rules, you know, follow this step, that step, everything, make sure the organization's right. But then after reading these verses, he realized that the success of the church doesn't hinge on those things, on the organizational things, as much as it does on a spiritual dimension, which is listed in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. It's people who are seeking the Lord and having a great desire to know him better and better and better and better. That's what church is all about. That's what the Christian life is all about, to know the Lord, like Paul said, I want to know him, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, one practical step that we can take is how we start the day. We can start each day and we can pray, Lord, I know you have plans for my life today, and I belong to you, I'm all yours, and what do you have in store for me today? I'm at your service. I'm at your service. And yet you pray that and you trust the Lord will give you the wisdom and the strength to discern his will and to follow through on it. And that should be our, have you noticed how in our world there are all these initials? Don't you love all these initials? It's hard to understand all these initials. That should be our SOP. Standard operating procedure. Did you know that Alex, our dear Alex, is a SOAP, a soap, a son of a preacher? I made that up. But I'm a GOAP, a grandson of a preacher. So you have a soap and a GOAP. You're thinking, nah, you're a dope. Well, when we start our days off that way with prayer, we're starting out on the right foot. We're starting out with the right priority. Lord, we don't know all the problems we'll face in a given day. We don't know what's going to come about. We're not omniscient. But we start off and we say, Lord, I'm putting you first. I want to know you better. I want to serve you. What do you have in plan for me today? And I just want to work your plan. And that's the way we keep things prioritized. You know, this retired minister also shared with me that after the Lord wrote those verses on his heart, he began to start his day with just 15 minutes. He said, I was just going to seek the Lord. I'm going to spend time listening to the Lord and reading his word and praying and thanking the Lord and thinking about what the Lord has done in the past and thanking him in faith of what he's going to do in the future. And he said that it helped him to mellow out. Remember, he was in the Navy. And can you imagine, you know, the structure? It gets ingrained into you. And he'd been ingrained with all the structure. But he said, when he started out with 15 minutes of just seeking the Lord each day, he learned to mellow out. He learned to be more flexible. He understood that people come from different backgrounds. They see things differently. They have a different family history. Maybe they have a different church experience. And so that it helped him to be more accepting and more understanding of people and to relax more and to realize that God's in control. God has us all handled. I don't have to make everybody conform to what I think they should be doing. Another set of parallel verses to this passage is Philippians 4, 8 through 9. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and what? There's a promise. The God of peace will be with you. Amen? Even in the midst of problems, even when things aren't going right, think about these things. And so, practically speaking, to operate in this life, we have to be in the Word. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. We have to keep in mind the truth of Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, where God is speaking. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I'm going to say something. You have to remember that I have some Norwegian blood in me. I have Viking roots, all right? So I'm not trying to offend anyone here, but we have to be willing to discern every day when we have some dumb Viking thinking that is in play. We have to discern that. And then, better yet, we have to discern, okay, God, how do you want me to walk? Holy Spirit, how can I walk and follow you, and what are the steps I need to take, and how can I act differently, how can I think differently? And that's keeping heaven's thoughts primary, first and primary in our lives. Now, I'm going to close with this. The Psalms say a lot about seeking the Lord. Here's a little bit of a summary of it, but in the Psalms, it says that when we seek the Lord, we will rejoice. Our heart will be glad. We will not lack any good thing. Our heart will revive. We'll be blessed because we seek the Lord with the whole heart. And those who walk in God's precepts walk in liberty and in freedom. And I also checked out a phenomenal verse in Proverbs 8:17. It says, those who seek the Lord will find the Lord. It's not a futile exercise. When we seek the Lord, we'll find the Lord. So we need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. If we've been raised with Christ, how many of you have been raised with Christ? We seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We set our mind on the things above, not on the things that are here on earth. And when we do that, we'll live a life that makes a difference both in time and in eternity. We live a worthwhile life. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you.